Morning.
Good morning.
Welcome you all. Please take your seats. I know it's a little bit tricky this year because Mike decided to mix up every country. So it takes more time to find where you are. But I guess most of you will enjoy changing a little bit your neighbor. So welcome you all. My name is Amaro Gomez. I'll be your host for this 2 days. It's a great pleasure and honor to be here. And our time is very short and precious, so I would like to start inviting Hans, our new chairman of the ISB, to open the conference. Please, Hans.
Thank you, Amaro. Ladies and gentlemen, friends, colleagues, a very warm welcome to London for this important event in the next 2 days. This is my first World Standards meeting. Okay, yeah. I'm already starting to disrupt the meeting. Anyway, there is not just a lot of nice people here, but also a lot of knowledge and experience, and I can tell you that my board and I plan to make absolutely maximum use of you in these next 2 days. Our meeting again takes place in against the backdrop of a lot of market turmoil. We are now 4 years into the financial crisis, well over 4 years already, and the end is still not in sight. And I think that this crisis really underlines the importance of our work, because after all, this financial crisis was very much caused by faulty economic and business standards around the world. In certain markets, such as the mortgage market in the United States, securitization worldwide, we saw an almost complete collapse of normal underwriting standards. We saw extremely weak capital standards for banks and financial institutions around the world. And if you look at monetary policies at this moment around the world, you don't see any standards at all anymore. Government accounting standards, if they are there at all, extremely weakly applied, of which, of course, Greece is a very extreme example, but it's not just Greece. Our accounting standards were, I don't think, at the center of the crisis. Some might think so, but generally the opinion is that they were not. And the funny thing is we were actually the only standard setters, ISB and FSB, that were asked to relax our standards. All the other standards have been made more stringent, and we, at the height of the crisis, were asked to relax our standards. Not asked, but sort of. Well, we were not asked very politely. Let's put it that way. And still... even though we were not the center of the crisis, everybody knows that we still have a lot of work to do. Many standards are still in need of repair or of a more or a better theoretical foundation. Before I started as the chair of the ISB, I already knew that our profession is far from an exact science. You look at the conceptual framework, it's very clear about that. But I must say that working on standards such as insurance standards and impairment, I am now even more impressed by the fact how much our accounting standard setting is, in how much judgment is involved in our work. And this can lead to two conclusions. You can jump to a relativist conclusion. Well, if accounting standards set it is so subjective, let it be subjective, and let's take my perspective as the basis for accounting standards. And that is a perspective that whetens the appetite for many preparers around the world. The other perspective would be, let's get as close to the objective truth as possible. We know it's somewhere there. We don't know exactly how to get there, but let us get as close as possible. But let's also make sure that we never forget common sense and that we hear all perspectives around an issue, and that would be my perspective. And that's, of course, where you as national standards setters come in as well. The development of IFRSs is not an ivory tower project, but a collaborative effort by the worldwide financial reporting community. And national standard setters fulfill a very vital role in this process. And this conference indeed provides an important opportunity for the IASB and national standard setters to exchange national views in an international context. We already have many established ways of cooperating with each other. In our outreach efforts, national standard setters play an important role, not only in disseminating information, but also by providing feedback from your constituents. You, as national standard setters, play an important role in the application of standards. You know the criteria set out in local legislation. You know the local regulatory framework. And some of you have an important role in endorsement of our standards or varieties of such. You are familiar with the implementation of IFRS in your jurisdiction. You can refer issues to IFRIC and liaise with IFRIC, which, by the way, we expect to become more active in the future. And you provide us with important input with regards to our educational efforts. Our relationship is still young. We are still young. But I'm sure it will continue to evolve. In which direction, it's simply not quite clear, but I think it is sure to continue to be a very important relationship based on mutual respect and partnership. One aspect of our relationship which I can see deepening in the coming years is the field of research. We feel as ISB that we have to undertake more comprehensive research before an item is placed on the agenda. We feel that would have a lot of advantages. It would probably help us to prevent hitting the ground running on a certain project. We should reduce the number of instances where projects reach that ends simply because a lot of obstacles were there that we didn't see in the preparatory phase. So we are sure we're going to invest more in research, and of course there we already have quite some experience with national standard setters also taking a role in taking on projects, for example, extractive activities, the work of Australia, Canada, Norway, and South Africa, management commentary, the work of Canada, Germany, New Zealand, and UK, agriculture, Malaysia, foreign currency, Korea, hyperinflation, Mexico, and more recently, the work on disclosures done by New Zealand and Scotland. So we already have a well-established pattern, and I am sure that we will continue cooperating in terms of research. Your input will certainly be very important in determining the ISB future agenda. You know that the first decade, our agenda was very much determined by preparing for the adoption by the European Union and others, convergence with US GAAP, and our response to the financial crisis. those were the three issues driving our agenda. The second decade, I think, will be more open. And as you know, we have issued a very open-minded consultation paper on our future agenda. We deliberately left it very open. We really want to know what is out there. What do you want? Only a couple of things I am pretty sure that it will be on the agenda. I think it will be clear that we have to create room for wishes of our new members, the newest members of the IFRS family. We expect them to come up with issues that we should take care of. And I also know for sure, since I hear it almost every day, that we have to work on the conceptual framework and that we have to work on financial presentation in correlation with the big mystery guest in our midst, OCI. What is OCI? What is the meaning of OCI? Everybody wants us to answer that question. Keeps me up at night. My wife wonders what is going on, and I'll tell her this: it's all about OCI. And then she can go back to sleep. We will consult widely, as I said. I think we have made enormous progress in terms of our outreach efforts in the last couple of years. Our staff is very intensive, very creative in doing so. It has been appreciated, but perhaps we have been a little bit too creative. Perhaps we are doing it in too many different ways, and that's that is something that we would like to discuss with you. Can we work together to structure outreach even better? Finally, at the end of my speech, I started by talking about the crisis. I will stop by talking about the crisis. The paradox of international crisis, such as the one that we are in now, is that to overcome such a crisis, you really need maximum international collaboration. And the fact during crisis is that it always becomes more difficult to reach international convergence, international cooperation, because everybody in times of crisis starts to look at his own problems. And you see that everywhere in the world. And that's the reason why that despite the G20 endorsement of a transition to global accounting standards, you see a lot of people expressing skepticism about the decisions that countries like the United States, for example, still have to make, and Japan still has to make a clear decision. Let's make sure that, for example, for the United States, it is not an easy decision to make. The European Union basically had no choice but adopting IFRS. They had 25 different standards. How can you have an internal market with 25 different national standards? That was a clear choice. The United States has had its own high-quality, sophisticated national accounting standards, and it's only reasonable that the country, before it takes the final decision, thinks about it very carefully. But whatever happens, I would like to underline, is that whatever happens in, for example, the United States, I have become, in the last couple of months, completely convinced that IFRS can only be slowed down and that it cannot be stopped anymore. If you look what has happened in the world and is still happening in the world in the last couple of years, in the Americas, not only Canada, almost all of Latin America is going to be fully on board. Yesterday I had dinner with people from the new regional organization, GLAS, and the commitment to IFRS is complete in Latin America. In Asia, Oceania, we have Australia, New Zealand, Korea, Hong Kong, Singapore, Indonesia, full adopters. China, nearly there. And India, it's a bit difficult, but they are on the road and they have no other option but in the end, fully adopting IFRS. And Japan is already allowing voluntary use. In Europe, outside the European Union, Russia and many other smaller jurisdictions are already fully on global language, and it is IFRS, and it is going to be there. So this leads to two conclusions that I would like to end with. First, IFRS is already truly a global project, as it is. And secondly, that means that it cannot be dominated by any particular region in the world, even though some might fantasize about that. It cannot simply happen. And I and my board, we will do our utmost to enhance the international sense of ownership in our organization and our products. That's what we will guarantee. I wish you a very good conference, and I look forward to talking and meeting with you, many of you, during these next 2 days. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Hans. I would like now to move on to the next panel on sharing experience and establishing regional standard setting groups. So I would like now to invite Mr.